Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today we are talking about
the critical difference between friendship and fellowship.
There is a difference between friendship and fellowship. Sadly, many Christians only have friendships and they don't actually have biblical fellowship. And this is kind of an epidemic, I think, in Christian marriages. We meet lots of people that are homesick and starving for deep, committed relationship fellowship, which we're going to be talking about today. A few things just before we get started. As always, this is a podcast. It's also a video show that you can watch. We have so many people tag us all the time on YouTube that are, you know, watching the videos with their family
or watching it while they're folding laundry or on their lunch break at work,
or they've gotten groups of couples together to watch them together and make Bible studies out of that. We've had people that have done that. It's pretty amazing what the Lord is doing with this show. So just making sure that you guys know that that exists. And for those of you who have not left a review yet, we would just encourage you guys to do so. It's super simple. If you're listening on the iTunes app, you just swipe up and you can just tap the stars. You don't even need to write anything. But if you did write something, we'd read it. The reviews are incredible. I read them and I'm not kidding. I've teared up a few times listening to the reviews or reading the reviews. So you guys can listen to this again on Spotify, on Google Play. You can listen to it on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube. It's available for you guys. And the reviews are really helping the exposure of the show, guys. We have had a huge increase in downloads. And so the show is growing. There's a chance that we might have 100,000 downloads this month coming up. Don't even know what to do with that. Just trying to figure out how to best steward this conversation. So we're going to talk about community. Before we get started, I want to get Veronica's opinion on just how important community has been for our life and our marriage.
I think community in our marriage and in our life has been super vital, especially this last year with all the trials that we went through and everybody bearing the burdens with us. It has been a huge blessing.
Yeah, we could not have done this last year without it. I can see how some couples get bitter who don't have that. Like they get bitter at the church because they go, why didn't you come and help me? Why, you know, where were you when I was struggling through this? I'm going to open up with a story. Our friends told us about community, and you guys might resonate with the story. They were in a Bible study with six other Christian couples who they met every Wednesday for almost 2 years. And one Wednesday, a certain couple just didn't show up. No one thought anything of it, but all of a sudden they get a text message, a group text message or something, some notification that this couple who didn't go had been fighting for months. And now they are getting ready to file for divorce that week. And the common response from everybody in the group was, oh my gosh, we had no idea. And I think this is a pretty, again, common thing. People are really good at hiding their stuff. Mm-hmm. And we see this in ministry all the time. The people you think you'd have, we had no idea. This is a problem. And this can't happen in Christian circles. We have married couples and singles calling themselves Christian, yet walking contrary to the way that the instruction of Scripture calls us to walk, which is to be known and to be close and connected with one another. And we're seeing like a spirit of independence.
Totally.
That many couples are walking out, and singles especially are really struggling with this spirit of independence. Couples that are hiding in crowds. That's why it's so easy to go to a big church, because
you walk in and walk out.
Yeah. And no one knows. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows that you're there. And you're known by few and accountable to nobody. And that's really the big thing that our flesh loves. Mm-hmm. It's to not be known by anybody and accountable to literally not a single person.
Complete freedom.
Complete freedom. Yeah.
What they're doing, how they're living their lives, what they're thinking, how they're walking.
Yeah. They don't want anybody speaking into their lives. And I don't think that people are like intentionally doing this, but this, the culture that we live in, the religion of today is freedom, autonomy, individualism, self-centeredness, selfishness. Like this is what our society breeds. Like we are designed to love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you're in it so much that you don't even realize it.
Yeah. You don't even realize it. Yeah. And a lot of the relationships that I'm even seeing in the church is there's this kind of this like arms out, like this close, but no further. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to come this close to me in our life, but I don't want to go any deeper.
But the second you ask me a question about how my marriage is doing, like, whoa, you're getting too personal.
Yeah. Or if there's some sort of exhortation or correction,
then they'll, you know, manipulate the conversation into another. They'll reroute it.
Yeah. Or they just stop showing up in the relationship. And this is, again, to the detriment of the church, we are having this problem. The word autonomy means autonomous, which auto means self. Nomos means law, self-law, self-ruling. We love that idea to not be accountable to the church. We want to be a part of the body of Christ, yet be a self-ruling entity. It is literally an oxymoron. That is impossible to do, to say in the scriptures that I am an autonomous figure and also part of the body of Christ. That is not what you see throughout the scriptures. We can't confuse, and this is what happened, I think, at this Bible study that our friends were in, is that you can't confuse proximity with closeness or connection. I should say you can't confuse proximity or closeness with connection, because they're two different things. Mm-hmm. You can be like
physically close to somebody, physically around them frequently.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you have a close-knit, deep relationship.
Totally. And I think the older generation really struggles with this. They, you know, the conversations are just surface level, mm-hmm. constantly. They're very private. They don't want to be known, accountable, corrected. And it might be a generational thing, but the millennial thing is now, it's very much still alive here today. And a couple things I want to say is that every Sunday, you know, we have these big church experiences, lots of proximity. Lots of closeness, no connection, no depth, mm-hmm. right? Friendship is not fellowship. We have lots of friendships. We know a lot of people. We're connected on the internet with a lot of people, but proximity of relationship is not participation in relationship. And I think that we as the church need to understand this. In your marriage, you need to be seeking out people that you can have participatory relationship with. And we're not friendship poor. We're fellowship poor. We're 10 feet wide and 1 inch deep. And it's a big problem. This is actually what we're going to talk about today, is probably the greatest insurance policy for your marriage and family that you could ever have outside of your relationship with God.
Biblical community.
Biblical community. Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about this idea of mm-hmm. biblical community and go through some scripture. So Ephesians 1:22-23 says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all."
Yeah. So that's in Ephesians. This idea is that Christ is the head of the church. Mm-hmm. And this is the theology we need to understand in order to get the behavior that we're going to talk about here in a minute. This is when he says here, I'm reading the scriptures, "And he put all things under his feet and gave to himself head over all things, the church, which is his body." He's talking about the universal church. There's two types of church that you see in the scriptures, universal and local. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying the universal church, which is everybody that's Christian and alive today, and everybody who's accepted the Lord and even passed away. Universal church now and in the past. Now that's different from the local church. And we see this actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the very end, verse 27. He says, "Now you," he points the finger to the Corinthians, "now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." We are individually members of the body of Christ. we are not independent entities with our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ over here in the corner, absent an appendage that has been amputated off. That's not the role that we are to play. The isolated Christian has nothing to do with Scripture. And so again, this idea of universal and local, the doctrine is universal, but the doctrines of the church and how we should be walking with one another are universal, but they are to be played out locally.
Yeah. We're not independent entities. That's
yes.
Something that we have to remember. It's the theme of Scripture is unity.
Yeah.
God's heart is for us to be unified, to be bearing one another's burdens, to be one anothering, mm-hmm. to be committed to yeah. one another and to fellowship with one another. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire.
Yeah. And this is, we don't realize this even, but I mean, in our own walk, Veronica and I's own story, we have met countless couples who isolate themselves. Mm-hmm. They're just not interested in really having relationship. And sometimes they don't even know that they're doing that.
They blame it on, oh, I'm an introvert.
I'm an introvert, or there's always a good reason to not show up to the event. There's always a good reason why they can't make it.
And there are some actual valid reasons.
Yeah.
Every now and then. But this, if this be this way of preventing
connection.
Relationship and connection is a way of life for you, that's a different thing.
Yeah. When it becomes the pattern of the relationship, that's when it actually becomes a problem. And I think that's, for many Christians, there's just always a good reason, and they're actually not making any sacrifice for relationship. And what is love? It's sacrifice and commitment, sacrifice and commitment. And that's what you need to be able to do. Is it convenient for us to go and have dinner with many of the dinners that we attend?
No,
it's not. We make it work because there's a sacrifice involved. And there's a commitment to one another, because it's not just about us. It's about them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Veronica and I have dinner with people, whether our house or someone else's house. Depending on the week, 3 to 4 times a week. And that's probably pretty accurate, right?
Yeah, usually about 3.
Yeah.
I'd say. I mean, yeah, every now and then there'll be a 4 thrown in because we do like to make sure we're maintaining some type of routine and balance at home.
Yeah.
But I'd say, yeah, probably about 3 times a week, we either have people over or we're at somebody else's house.
Yeah. And this has been for years we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we are deeply intertwined with people, and that is an important component. I want you to evaluate, is that us, or do we just kind of like do dinner with people like twice a month? Is it because you don't have anybody to do that with, or it's because you're just not willing to be
Inconvenienced.
Mm-hmm. You know, this idea of relationship that only occurs on my terms mm-hmm. is very popular today.
Yeah.
And we need to be careful with that. Trying to find where I'm at on my notes here. Okay. So yeah. This is a good point I made here in my notes. I get ladies that write me all the time. I have a lot of followers that are women. They write me all the time with just this idea how they should deal with their husband's problem. And my response, if I respond to them, is, do you not have anybody, any other men in your community that you can turn to?
With their wife.
Yeah, like
their
just
present or their or pastoral figure.
Yeah, I just go like, if Veronica has a problem that we cannot solve in our marriage, in biblical community, she has the right and ability, and we are to be known and cared for and one another. And we'll talk about these scriptures in a minute. She can absolutely go to one of the other men in our community, connect with Jen and Aaron, or, you know, some of the other people in our community, Cody and Stacy, these families that we've walked with, and say, hey guys, I need you to go talk to Dale. We got an issue going on over here. And
after you've already tried multiple times to work it out with your spouse
yeah.
on your own.
Yeah.
Don't just go run to your friends without actually even talking to your spouse about it. Don't bombard them with, you know,
yeah.
attacking them with, hey, you need to work on this.
Yeah, totally.
So, I wanted to say that not having close committed biblical community is actually a really huge risk for your family and for your marriage, because God didn't design the wife to be the sole correction and accountability engine for her husband. Mm-hmm. She is the main accountability partner for sure. But she's not the only accountability partner.
Yeah.
That's what biblical community is for.
Well, what happens?
You have other men in our fellowship. I've got other women in the fellowship to help keep us accountable.
Well, and what happens to a couple who only have themselves?
They start fighting. I mean, they fight more and more and more and more, because it's, if you're constantly correcting your spouse, that's all you get from your spouse. You
exasperate each other.
Yeah, totally.
Because you get into this point where you go, you're the only other entity holding each other accountable. And no, you need other men and other women. Men, if you don't have two or three other men in your life who are willing and you've given permission to call you out, keep you accountable, when they see your life that's walking outside of scripture, that they are to come to you and talk to you about that, exhort you. And ladies, same thing, right?
Totally.
Getting ladies known, because you know what? And I'll actually say this as a testimony to our own marriage. There has been a variety of things in our marriage that I've never had to fix because another woman did it for me. And I think the same is true for
vice versa.
For me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There has been so much correction that I've received from other men that Veronica, I'm sure, has thought about. You know, we don't need to bring every single correction to each other when you walk in community, because the community itself, the church, the thing that God designed here on earth as the organization, the entity to sanctify each other. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that,
and scripture says to exhort one another daily.
Yeah. Which the idea of exhorting, which is advice with encouragement, mm-hmm. right? Just encouraging advice, but it's a correction almost. Yeah. An encouraging correction,
mm-hmm. you know,
doesn't leave you kind of hanging low. How do we get here? How did the church get here? Like, how have we learned to behave this way? Why do we have so many couples in the church that are desperate for rich, deep, committed relationships? They don't even have like one or two. We've had people come to our marriage retreats and they have zero people at home.
They're the only dedicated Christian people that they know, and can't find anybody else to walk in biblical community with.
Yeah. And I think that everybody thinks like, oh, that's not me. And like reality, I want you to double check yourself, mm-hmm. because it very might well be you. Do you actually have, are you being discipled by an older, more mature believer on a regular basis? Are you in fellowship with the same couples, having weekly gatherings, dinners, coffees, meetings, Bible studies, like on a regular basis, that you're walking and sharpening each other and sanctifying each other through the word of truth? This is the habitat for the Christian and for the Christian marriage, is to be in community. There's actually a really interesting study, before I jump on this real quick, that showed children who were raised in community have a far greater chance of sticking with the value system of their childhood when they get older than those children who were raised in isolation. And the reason is, when children are raised in community who all share a like-minded system, value system, it's not just their parents that are providing this corrective direction or instruction. They're actually getting the same instruction from other parents and other adults and other peers and other families. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to a child like, wow, this is actually the way that the world works, versus I'm going to rebel against my parents because they were the only ones that walk this way. And so I'm just encouraging you guys, you want other families in your life, to the point where we have other families that absolutely correct our children, mm-hmm. and we have given them permission to do so. Now, they're not going to go and necessarily discipline our children, but they can tell them, no, don't do that. Give them a lesson. Talk to them about that. Tell them to say sorry to another child. Like, that kind of stuff exists, mm-hmm.
totally,
in our community. Okay. How do we get here? I'm going to dive in for this just for a few minutes, and then Veronica's going to take point number two. Hey, Dale Partridge here. Last year, I heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. You see, the vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Now, let's dive back into the show. The current church, in my opinion, nurtures what I call the doctrines of distance. And there's just a few things that we've been, the design of how we do church has taught us a lot about how to behave. And so number one is, it's kind of come if you can. Like, come to church if you can. If you get 8 hours of sleep and you don't have a cold and everything's good with the kids.
Baby slept great last night.
Baby slept great. You have nothing better to do. Your friends aren't in town. Come to church. Most couples could miss church for 3 months and nobody would call them. Nobody would even notice. Many Christian people. If you go to a church that's like over 300 or 400 people, most people could not show up at least for a few weeks and no one would even really know.
Well, and this come if you can thing bleeds over into real life. It's not just church.
Well, and this is the moral.
I don't know if you're planning on getting to that point, but
yeah,
like inviting somebody over for dinner and it's just like, oh yeah, like maybe we'll see. Like, let me check my schedule. I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And then nothing ever gets scheduled because it's like, oh, something else more fun is actually going on. I'm going to go do that.
Yeah. There is no commitment. There is no sacrifice. There is no relationship. There is no participation. It's whatever I can get out of the relationship. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, or talks specifically on this. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's why. Consider one another to stir up love and good works. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day, capital D, the day of Christ approaching. This was written when you would get killed for gathering as Christians. Paul's saying, if I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but that's my thought. The author of Hebrews is saying, stop forsaking the gathering of yourselves. Get in there. Go. Get, like, have community. Show up at church. This is one of those things. Committed. Do you actually go to church? Over the last 4 years, we've probably missed Sunday gathering with our home church. I don't know, 10 times maybe, and just because we've been sick.
I was going to say like 5 times, but yeah, maybe between 5 and 10, I guess.
Over 4 years.
Yeah, because there was 3 consecutive weeks there because we were so sick, but yeah.
So it's just very rare. We schedule our days around church. We schedule our vacations around church. We schedule those things because the gathering of the saints and those people are priority in our lives and they know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... Point number two on how did we get here? Be an inactive spectator, non-functioning audience member.
Yeah. This is what we've become.
That's how the church, institutional church has designed it to be.
Yeah.
Church is an event that you attend, not a community that you participate in.
Mm-hmm. It's something you go to.
Yeah. The very place that was designed to teach real relationships is actually bankrupt of real relationships. Like you said, 10 feet wide, 1 inch deep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the number one reason people leave the church is because they didn't actually feel connected with anybody. Mm-hmm. We hear that all the time.
All the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually had people that were submitting why they left the church stories. And the number one thing kept coming back is that once I was saved, nobody cared about me.
Yeah.
Like the main thing was evangelized to me and then they're saved and move on to the next lost person.
Mm-hmm. But just to touch on this point where it says, because they didn't feel connected with anyone. I remember one good thing that we experienced when we were going to the institutional church, we went to this marriage group right after we got married And we sat and it's these community groups. And so you go into this room and there's, you know, 100 tables in there and there's, I don't know, 5 couples at each table. And you kind of meet with that community group every week.
Yep.
Talk all married couples. And we sat with this group. We kind of got assigned to them and we did not connect with them at all. They were very sweet, but we just did not connect with them at all. But one thing I was thankful for was that they really encouraged you, like, hey, if you don't connect, like, go find another group, like, no hard feelings. And we did, and that's where we met, like, our best friends.
Yep.
Aaron and Jen Smith, they have a great marriage podcast as well.
Yeah.
Marriage After God. But yeah, but so many people are leaving the church because had we not been encouraged to go find somebody that we do connect with, we probably would have left the church way sooner than
well, and it's why we left the other churches.
Yeah.
You know, so it's absolutely part of the deep desire. Most Christians are surviving on starvation rations of relationship. They just have enough to barely get through life. You know, they have a friend that they had that lives across the country and they talk to all the time, but they don't, we are overflowing with relationships here. Like,
it's hard to keep up.
We have literally 50, maybe 30 to 50 deep relationships that we want to spend more. And these are biblically committed, rich, desired relationships that we love each other. And we just can't get, we don't have enough time for them all. And so we're actually seeing a real community where multiple people are participating and it's just really beautiful. So point number one was come if you can. Point number two is you're an inactive spectator or a non-functioning audience member. That's part of the doctrines of distance. Number three is they just say, watch the simulcast or listen to the podcast. Okay, because you're simply a consumer and not a contributor to the body, which again falls into your relationship understanding and definitions, just watch or listen to the live video or listen to the podcast. In other words, the church has become merely a knowledge source or knowledge hub, not a relationship source or relationship hub. It's just about going to learn. It actually has nothing to do with relationship. And this is why a lot of people leave. They read the scriptures, they hear about the Christian community, you'll know them by their love. And they don't experience that.
Yeah. And eventually you just stop going to church altogether because you can listen to it while you go on your morning run or while you go and do all these other fun things.
Yeah. And eventually you start listening to the other pastor that's not even at your church because John Piper is a far better teacher than your pastor. And all of a sudden you're accountable to nobody and you're just going to church in your podcast and there is no relationship. People stay at churches because of people, not because of good worship music, not because of good teaching. Those kind of things will, like, they literally fall, like, they'll hold somebody there for a period of time. Great teaching can hold somebody there for maybe a year, a couple of years. Great worship music can hold people there for a time. If you don't have relationships, deep committed relationships, the back door of the church will be spinning as fast as the front door of the church. People come in, they stay for a year or two, and they leave. And that is what's happening because we can't figure out how to do relationship. And we need to do that. And especially in marriages, because marriages model it for children and children will define what it looks like to be in community by what their parents have done. Mm-hmm. Number four, this is a big one. I think this is probably the most, I guess, the deepest cause is that outsource your burdens to professionals, not to other members of the body.
Yeah, don't lean on your community.
Go get counseling. And not from the older married couple in your community, go get counseling from the professional counselor.
And this is how did we get here?
Yeah, this is how do we get here? This is what the doctrines of distance, this is number four, is this is also has nothing to do in scripture. Not that Christian counselors are bad. They're great. But what I'm saying is we've been taught that you don't bear your burdens. You have anxiety, you have depression, you have worry, you have anger issues, you have pornography problems, you have marriage problems, you have children parenting problems. Everybody's going to counselors and nobody's going to each other. And so I get this actually all the time as kind of a thought leader. All these people write me and they think that I possess the solution that they're looking for. And I go, I'm a stranger geographically, relationally. Like, why are you telling me this? Like the deepest parts of their soul, Veronica and I get it often, like the deepest things. You're just like, whoa. First, why are you telling us? Now, not that we, you know, rejecting this, but we're just saying is like, this is evidence that they either A, have nobody else to talk to, or B,
they do and they're choosing not to.
Which is exactly the problem. Mm-hmm. What's really going on is that they would rather share, in many cases, their broken and embarrassing areas of their lives with complete strangers than muster up the vulnerability and humility required to open up to those who are right next to them in their life.
Mm-hmm. It's really easy to be vulnerable with somebody you don't know. Because they're
not in your life.
Yeah, they're not in your life. They're likely not going to judge you real harsh because... hey, okay. Like I've been there too. But you've got to open up to them. God has given us the body of Christ. He's given us brothers and sisters to lean on, to bear our burdens with. And you've got to use that.
And you got to drag that stuff into the light as the scriptures talk about. Just drag it. It's not going to walk out. You got to just call your friends and say, hey, we need to sit down. We need to talk. Our marriage isn't doing good. And we need to talk to somebody about it. And your marriage seems to be doing better than ours, but we just need to pull this into the light and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And this is what's going on. He's angry and I'm bitter, or whatever it is, or found out that John here is looking at porn. I don't even know what to do. We are... the one another's in scripture are called the mutual pastoral mandates. We are mutually pastoral to one another. This is what's so unique about the body of Christ. Now, the forgiver, the great forgiver is Christ, but we are shepherding one another. And the church in this situation, this doctrines of distance, has literally taught us to outsource the very thing that makes us close, which is vulnerability and openness. Like when we share something deep and embarrassing with another couple, oh, the relationship just goes from the 3-foot section of the pool to the 10-foot section of the pool. That's how relationships grow deep. And so if you're not constantly in deep, messy, hard relationships, man, you haven't even experienced it yet. This is...
yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily constantly.
Oh, sorry.
Because it's not always that way. But, and I would also use wisdom in your vulnerability too. There is wisdom in not sharing everything with whoever it is that you're sharing it with. So.
Good point. And there's wisdom in who, because we have certain couples that we're going to share with and certain couples that we are not as close with. But like our friends, Aaron and Jen, they're as deep as it gets with us. I don't think there's really anything in our life that if they asked, we wouldn't tell them. Mm-hmm. And that has been earned over 10 years. Mm-hmm. But you need to start somewhere.
Yeah, totally.
You need to start somewhere.
I agree. So going back to scripture, there are over 100 one another's in the scriptures. In Galatians 6:1, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Mm-hmm. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Luke 17:3 says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing.
If you're trying to escape these are just a few that I found.
Oh yeah. There's tons of them.
But just that we are called to be in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. And we do biblical community. You guys know that. Relearnchurch.org is our ministry. We've had a variety of people over the years who it's hard to be in this community. Not because it's painful, but because it's a requirement of walking according to the scriptures and being known.
I would say, yeah. And people, your flesh doesn't like to be known.
No, it doesn't like to be known. Mm-hmm. And so we've had many people over
Satan
the years.
Satan loves you wanting to be isolated.
Yeah. It's exactly what feels good, is to not open up. And so we have to trust that the safest and most joyful place that we will be under the instruction of Scripture and God's people, and that the counsel that comes with God's people, just to be known there. So a couple points that we'll make as we get kind of close to closing here. True Christianity is deeply entrenched with community. Like, I'm talking, you know, you read the book of Acts and these people are selling things, giving them like their possessions to one another, like totally walking out a unified life. Now, this is descriptive of what happened. It's not necessarily prescriptive of how we should live exactly. But man, I mean, in our community, if someone loses their job and rent is due, the community covers it. And we don't even have to talk about it. It's not even talked about. People just make sure that the bills are paid. That is because you're in rich community. And what about, talk about a safety net.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Like we always think about, man, like what happens if like, yeah, we get really sick, or which we did this year or last year.
What happened? Like even more seriously, what if one of us gets cancer or something like that?
Yeah. Or, you know, something just goes wrong financially. You know, we talk about being wise with our money, but we also know that the church is here to take care of us. Mm-hmm. And that's just what's not happening. So many Christians are living on credit cards and they're going into huge debt. And so the question you have to ask yourselves is, when you look at your life and your marriage and your family, do you see the rich, deep, committed, sacrificial relationships that you hear about in the Bible? Or are you just kind of walking around isolated? There's two people. There's the people that are, we are totally willing and wanting this relationship. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people who, you know, actually don't want it. Like they're actually part of the problem.
Well, and then there's the people that think that they want it, but once they're come face to face with it, actually end up being the other people and isolate themselves or detour.
Yeah. Who's going to say no to friends, right? But are you really willing to put in the work?
Yeah. The second somebody asks you a more intimate question, you're like, whoa, 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 slow down.
Yeah. Or to give up something on your calendar to come spend time with them. Mm-hmm. This is the pastoral care, is that you don't just talk to the people that you have a natural affinity with. Sometimes there's a young lady or a young man who needs some help. And you know what? Naturally, you probably wouldn't become really great friends, but they're a brother or sister in Christ, and you go, you sacrifice something in your life, and you go and
spend time with them.
Spend time with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I want to talk one last thing just about today. There's people that are struggling with this because they're always on the road, or they're always taking vacations, or they're always moving. We've seen this in our own life before. What do you have to think? Well, like, what's your thoughts on that? Just like people that, Christians that you can't get close to them because they're always moving. They're always on vacations. And there's an obsession with the culture right now of being on the go and traveling constantly. No roots. Let's live in an RV. Like, let's just do this thing. And I don't know. I just want to challenge that perspective. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
It just goes back to my first thought is just goes back to the scripture, Proverbs 18:1, where it says
a
man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, which means, I mean, seeks his own desire. That's selfishness. Mm-hmm. It only cares about themselves. And scriptures calls us to bear one another's burdens. There's all those one another's in the scriptures. We're supposed to be doing community and walking out our lives with other people. And that's what makes us look so peculiar to people that are non-believers.
Totally. Yeah. And I just go, is it wrong to take a vacation? No.
No,
but if you're always on the go,
you can't get close to anybody.
You can't. And it's because I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm not actually thinking about the rest of the body, the members of the body, on how I can help in their life and the work that they might have in my life. And so I think about stillness and availability and accessibility are the true currencies of biblical relationship. You got to be still enough for people to get connected with you. You got to be available we are available. Mm-hmm. Like, we just make ourselves available. And you got to be accessible. Come on over. People are always shocked. They write us on Instagram. They say, "Hey, we're in town." I'm like, "Oh, come on over." They're like freaked out. Like, "Really? Okay. Yeah. Here's our address. Come over." And we meet with these people and have dinner with them. And how many times have we done that?
Quite a few.
Yeah. Quite a few.
We've even had a couple spend the night at our house. We didn't even know.
Yeah.
Multiple times, actually.
And we Instagram stalk them, but, it's othering and giving preference to one another and willingness to be there.
The Christian life is all about dying to yourself, dying to your own fleshly desires, dying to your own, to glorify God and to serve Him. And part of serving Him is loving on His children
and actually,
other brothers and sisters.
And God promises that your life will actually be better if you do that.
And we have seen the fruit of that.
We have fruit on our tree. And
yeah, like our life has been better because of that is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And our relationships are rich and people come into our community and they go, "Whoa, I've never seen anything like this." We actually, our friends, David and Jill, who live on our property with us, they moved from San Diego and they were having some community stuff there. They were, you know, moved there for a business trip. They ended up coming back up here and they go, "Man, we got instant friends, like instant community." It was so mm-hmm. weird. They went immediately deep with like several couples. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, that's so cool." Just mm-hmm. to see that it's not just us. There's several people. Guys, would you guys purpose yourself in 2019 to find or create or mm-hmm. plant or make yourself available or pray for biblical community? That's my heart for
now,
you guys.
What are three steps you can take this year and focus on mm-hmm. to help guide you into that direction?
Yeah. And we're sometimes so afraid to be corrected.
Oh man. Being corrected is a blessing.
It is.
It may sting and hurt in the moment, but several years down the road, I mean, I'd say, at least in our experience, we're so much more thankful for it.
Would you rather not be corrected? Like, what a crazy thing that would be. No, being corrected is so good. The scriptures say, "What faithful are the wounds of a friend." We hear a wise man loves a rebuke. A fool despises correction. And so community isn't, it might hurt sometimes, but it's not here to harm you. It's here to heal you. And so this is the idea of like, this is God's design for marriages, to be in community with other families and other kids and other marriages and other singles. So our encouragement is to seek that out. So the verse for this week, why don't you go ahead and read it?
Okay, guys. So the memory verse for this week is going to be Galatians 6:1. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness."
Great topic to think about. We need to focus constantly on intentional, committed, sacrificial relationships. I want you guys to really purpose yourselves this week to try to find biblical community.
And be willing to be known.
Be willing to be known. Mm-hmm. We're not going to answer any questions this week. The show is a little bit long, but this is a great time for you to leave a review. If you guys have not, just tap the stars in the Apple iTunes app. And if you want to hear this podcast again, or you want to look at the video or look at the scriptures that we referenced or the show notes, go ahead and go to ultimatemarriage.com. Just go to the podcast section. This is episode number 27. On that note, this is the end of the episode. So
we'll see you next Wednesday.
We will see you guys next week. Take care. Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your marriage. For those that don't know, Ultimate Marriage is a ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. Now, we tell you this because Veronica and I would like to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more couples understand the Bible's design for marriage. So if you're a regular listener of this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $5, $10, or $25 per month. I promise that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to save marriages and strengthen families. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. But let's not end here. Join Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, where we post daily tips and lessons on how to build a biblical marriage. And for those of you looking for more, consider joining our 6-week marriage mentor program, where we disciple couples on how to walk out the Bible's instruction for husbands and wives. You can find all that and more by visiting our website at ultimatemarriage.com. Ultimate Marriage is a listener-supported podcast and a companion ministry of relearnchurch.org.